God in heaven cares for us. Amen. This morning, I want you to turn once again with me to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. We have started from the first Sunday of this new year looking at this thought of walking in 2022. How you and I are to be walking, to be living this year. We have looked at the thought of walking worthy, walking in unity, walking in grace, walking differently, walking delivered, walking peacefully, and last week we looked at walking pleasing. This morning, we're going to be looking at the thought of walking in the right spirit. Walking in the right spirit. Before us this morning, we'll read in just a moment, are two verses that we are going to consider this morning. We may not get through all of it this morning. We may be looking at part B next Sunday. But we're going to be looking at mainly verse number one this morning. As we look at, these are familiar verses. Some of the most familiar in all the books of Ephesians, chapter 4, Ephesians. It is a very familiar portion, but I believe it's one that has the most impact upon our lives as individuals and as our life as a church and in our world. I believe there's good and bad impact in regards to verse 31 and verse 32. I believe verse 31 and verse 32 will affect every one of us some way, somehow. Before us is a contrast. Last week we looked at walking pleasing. We looked at this idea of not grieving the Holy Spirit. Now the idea of not grieving the Holy Spirit falls into these verses of how we're to have the right spirit and walk the right way in 2022. Because verse 31 will show us how we grieve the Holy Spirit. Verse 32 will show us how not to grieve the Holy Spirit. There's a vast contrast between what is to be in the life of a believer and what is not to be in the life of a believer. Ephesians chapter 4, let me just read these verses. And then I'd like to share a couple illustrations and then get into our message this morning. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There's a story told of a man named Bruce Goodrich. He was being initiated into the cadet at Texas A&M University. One night, Bruce was forced to run until he dropped. But he never got up. Bruce Goodrich died before he even entered college. A short time after the tragedy, Bruce's father wrote this letter to the administration, faculty, student body. I'd like to take this opportunity to express appreciation of my family for the great outpouring of concern and sympathy from Texas A&M University and the college community over the loss of our son, Bruce. We were deeply touched by the tribute paid to him. We were particularly pleased to note that his Christian witness did not go unnoticed during his brief time on campus. Mr. Goodrich went on, I hope it will be some comfort to know that we harbor no ill will in this matter. We know our God makes no mistakes. Bruce had an appointment with his Lord and is now secured in his celestial home. When the question is asked, why did this happen? Perhaps one answer will be so that many will consider where they will spend eternity. One day, two men were walking through the countryside. They were on their way to another village to help bring in the crops. As they walked, they spied an old woman sitting at the edge of a river. She was upset because there was no bridge, and she could not get across on her own. The first man kindly offered, "We will carry you across if you like." "Thank you," she said gratefully, accepting their help. So the two men joined hands, lifted her between them, and carried her across the river. When they got to the other side, they set her down, and she went on her way. After they had walked another mile or so, the second man began to complain. "Look at my clothes," he said. "They are filthy from carrying that woman across the river. And my back still hurts from lifting her. I can feel it getting stiff." The first man just smiled and nodded his head. A few more miles up the road, the second man griped again. "My back is hurting me so badly, and it's all because we had to carry that silly woman across the river. I cannot go any farther because of the pain." The first man looked down at his partner, now lying on the ground, moaning and complaining. "Have you ever wondered why I'm not complaining?" he asked. "Your back hurts because you're still carrying the woman, but I set her down 5 miles ago." We're going to be looking at this idea of what is tragically killing individuals and churches and communities and ultimately this world. A man in Spokane named Mr. Russell had arranged for the minister from a church to have his wedding. The day came and the minister didn't show up. The minister sent a replacement. The man was upset and never forgot the incident. 30 years later, Carolyn had a garage sale. This individual that's telling the story said, "My mother was there helping. A neighbor came over and introduced himself. He said, 'Underhill, are you related to a minister?' 'Yes, my husband is one.' 'Well, I could tell you a thing or two.' My mom said, 'Go ahead, I've heard it all. 30 years ago, he was supposed to marry, and he told his story. And he went on how he was so bitter and upset at this minister named Upperhill.' And the lady says, 'My husband has only been in the ministry for 15 years. That could have been my husband.' And she was bitter at someone that was not even the right person. A rattlesnake, if cornered, will sometimes become so angry, it will bite itself. That is exactly what harboring of hate and resentment against others. It's a biting of oneself. We think we're harming others, but in reality, we're just harming ourselves. Having the right spirit. Verse 31 says, "Let all bitterness." Now, I want each of us to hear some thoughts this morning. Because bitterness is an issue that is addressed throughout Scripture. We're going to look at even Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5 as well this morning. We're going to look at this issue of bitterness. Out of bitterness comes the next several things that are mentioned. There are 7 sins that are dealt with in this verse of verse 31. In this comes, out of bitterness comes these other issues. Now before you sit back this morning, like most of us do, and we look at this and say, "Well, preacher, I'm glad you're hitting this, but I don't need this. before we get to that place in our lives. Because honestly, a lot of times we look at this and say, well, I'm not bitter. I'm not this way. But I believe if we look at some scriptures this morning, and we look at this truth this morning, I believe if we're not careful, there are roots of bitterness starting to spring up in our lives. And if it goes untreated, if we do not take care of it, it is going to strangle out our very existence, if you will, and our testimony in this world. Do you know what I see today, and you can see it today? There is hatred, anger, clamor, malice, evil speaking being done on the part of believers because of what we're facing in the world we're in. And you know where that comes from? It doesn't come from God. It doesn't come from pleasing the Spirit. It comes from grieving the Spirit. And it comes from bitterness. You know what's destroyed more homes than anything else? You know what's killed more individuals than anything else? Do you know greater than heart diseases, COVID, the flu has done more harm is bitterness in the lives of individuals. You know what's shutting more doors to churches is bitterness. Do you know what split more homes between husband and wife? Bitterness. Do you know why kids that haven't talked to their parents in 30 years? Because of bitterness. Do you know why church members can't get along? Because of bitterness. Do you know what's affected our testimony in this world more than anything else? Is because of bitterness. And before we say I don't have bitterness, when we get through bitterness and we start looking at these other areas, if these are happening, the other areas, do you know what that's a true tell test of? That I have bitterness somewhere in my life. Because what is coming out is a root of something deeper. Bitterness is the root. The other areas are branches that come out of the root of the problem. Again, I say this with all love as Paul was saying this to this church at Ephesus. Remember when we started this message, Paul said, I beseech you out of love, I want you to hear these truths. This morning, I'm preaching this out of love this morning for each of us, myself included, that we get what we need so we get the help we need so we can be what God wants us to be. 2022. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, I pray that you would just use your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Let all bitterness. Bitterness is resentment, a grudge-filled attitude. Bitterness in the heart will fill a person with animosity. The bitter person will usually be sour and often filled with resentment and spite. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, just for a moment. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, thereby many be defiled. Bitterness sets in because we have been hurt and we haven't dealt with it. And then it roots itself up. And it defiles, it troubles us. The word trouble is used there. It brings turmoil to our lives. I want to ask a question this morning. Is there anybody in this room that's never been hurt? anyone in this room that's ever been hurt? No one's ever hurt your feelings? No one's ever done evil to you? No one's ever done anything to you? No one's ever done? Your kids have never done stuff to you? You've never? I believe every one of us has been hurt in one form or another. I believe every one of us has had someone betray us at one time in our lives. I believe we've had someone stab us in the back at some time in our lives. I believe we've had someone who's loved us, done something harmful to us. Someone who we loved with all our heart, done something to harm us. I believe there has been times in each of our lives that we have faced some form of hurt. It could have been by a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, a husband, a wife, a child, a church member. It could be a neighbor. It could be anyone, a co-worker, a so-called friend. We've all been hurt. But it's how we deal with the hurt. Bitterness comes in. The root of bitterness troubles our hearts. In 2 Samuel, you don't need to turn there. You can jot this down and look at this. Chapter 23, verse 34. And then 2 Samuel 17, 23. We're given an example of a man that was bitter. This man was part of David's council. But when David's son Absalom rebelled, this man joined forces with Absalom. This man eventually took his life and ended in suicide. You know who this man was? The grandfather of Bathsheba. And if you would study out those portions of Scripture, you would find out because of his bitterness and resentment and hate for David, he took his life. You see, bitterness is dangerous. Bitterness will make you sick physically. Bitterness is that resentment that brings about in your life as you fret and worry over what you think person or institution or whoever has done this harm to you. You get in such a place that you get sick over that because all you do is dwell upon it. You know what bitterness does? Bitterness gets you to focus on you and yourself. And we know this. We are selfish people, are we not? You know what bitterness does? Gets you so sick because I can't believe that person would do that to me. I mean, I've loved that person. I've done this for this person. I've done this for this church. I've done this for this individual. And how dare that person come and do some harm to me? I thought we were friends. Why would that person talk behind my back to someone else? I thought we were great people, and I thought we had a relationship. I thought I could count on them, yet they turned around and they stabbed me in the back. What type of person is that? I can't believe that person would ever act that way. I thought my father was supposed to love me. I thought they were not supposed to hurt me. I can't believe that my parents would ever do this to me. I can't believe I've ever gone through this physical, emotional abuse and stuff in my life. I can't believe this. And all we do is we fret upon and think upon the hurt that has come to us. And we get to a place that we make ourselves sick over it. It will do physical harm. Do you know? They say somewhere between 50 to 60% of people go to the doctor and they can't find anything wrong with them and find out what's causing it. And they say most of it's caused from something eternal that it's not related to the body. It's a spiritual thing. Because why? They have allowed bitterness to make them sick. Because what happens if we start fretting upon and internalizing and thinking upon that and stewing upon it? We don't sleep. We don't eat. We don't do the things we need to do in our lives. That's what bitterness does. It physically makes us sick in our lives. And the root of bitterness, it has caused people to, bitterness will cause people to harm themselves, just as we saw the great grandfather. Bitterness, get this, bitterness, you're taking your hurt, not dealing with your hurt the right way, allowing it to become bitterness in your life. Allow it to be where you're stewing upon it. Allow where you become resentful, where you don't even want to see the person. Becoming a place that you don't even want to be around the person. Becoming where it's this way. This is what bitterness does. It leads you to a place that it physically makes you sick, but it brings you to a place where people will even harm their own selves because of bitterness. I tell you, I don't understand. I try to. I've never been there. Some of you have been where I'm going to hit. I've never been there. I praise God that I've never been there. And some of you, please don't take this. I'm trying to do this with all grace this morning. But there are people this morning that have not dealt with hurt the way that they biblically, they need to deal with that. We're going to be looking at as we get into next week in the verses in 32. But they have allowed the hurt to bring them to a place of some form of self-harm to their lives. Now get this, please get this morning. I don't understand this. I've started researching and looking and seeing. And there are some statistics out there that say somewhere between 60 and 70% of people do some form of physical harm to themselves to try to bring about help to relieve their hurt that they're facing. Some of you known, and some of you known others that have even tried to take their life or have taken their life. And most of those cases is because of some form of hurt, struggles that they did not cope with or handle the right way. Bitterness will make you sick physically. Bitterness will harm you emotionally. The root of bitterness will entangle itself around your peace, your joy, your happiness, and choke the life right out of you. It will leave you a sad, empty shell in your life. Bitterness comes because we don't deal with hurt, right? Bitterness comes because we're grieving the Holy Spirit. Bitterness comes because we haven't gone God's way and walking with the right spirit, the right attitude. But it does have an effect and an impact on us. And it does take you physically and affect you physically. But it also affects you emotionally, where it sucks out. And then we gave the illustration of the snake being cornered. And it sucks out and it takes out the very essence of your life and the joy and the peace in your life. And we're going to see this unfold as we get into the other words that are mentioned here. Because it shows there is no joy. There is no peace because of what has taken place. You see, God wants you to walk in the right spirit, the right attitude in 2022. He doesn't want us to be so emotionally that we're just a shell and that very joy of our lives have been taken from us. Oh, there's times that we've done things we shouldn't. There's times that hurt has hurt us and it's zapped us. But as David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. But bitterness doesn't get that joy restored. Bitterness allows that joy to be taken from our lives. Bitterness will destroy your relationship with others. Bitterness grows, you become negative. You become critical. Others will not want to be around you. And you eventually be left alone. Bitterness does not just affect your relationship with the one that's hurt you. Bitterness affects your relationship with others as well. Because in your life, in a bitter state of your life, and in that state of your life where you focus upon yourself and a focus upon your hurt and a focus upon that in your life, all you care about is yourself, and then you become negative, and you become in that place that all you do is criticize everybody else, and you're a critical person and a critical spirit, and that affects your relationship with everybody you come in contact with. We've all been there and seen people, maybe not in our own lives, but we've seen other people. They would say, well, I don't want to be around that person. That person can never say anything positive. That person, all they do is complain about that spouse of theirs. All that person does is complain about their child. All that person does is complain about their coworker. All that person does is complain about their parent. They're critical of it. And we've seen the TV programs, and we've seen movies and shows and that of this old person in a house that's fallen apart, all left by themselves. Even though they had 6 kids, even though they have 40 grandkids, they're sitting in this house in a rocking chair with a blanket over them, curled up, left alone by themselves to die because of bitterness. Bitterness will keep you from having the right relationships with someone else. Most of you know some stories and some events. There is a story that is told, and there is a movie that they produced. Even the evangelist tells of a story of what has happened, and this event of an individual that was tortured in war beyond one's comprehension. It comes to a place that this man receives Christ, goes back many years later, and tries to find the very ones that harmed him. And he tells them he forgives them for what they've done. You see, bitterness will also demolish you spiritually. Because as you're fixate on that person, you fixate on that situation. As you feel wrong, you lose your focus on the Lord. And the object of your worship becomes you and your feelings and not worshiping the Lord. It affects you spiritually. Because you know what becomes an idol in your life? Get this. I want you to get this. You know what becomes an idol in your life? It's your hurt. Becomes the God that you're serving. Because your hurt takes precedence over God. Your hurt, your struggle, your emotion, your feelings replace God in your life. and it demolishes your spiritual walk. Bitterness affects this world. Bitterness affects our testimony. Bitterness affects how we're walking in 2022. Because it affects us in our ultimate walk with God. Because I'm sitting in a church service, and instead of focusing on God's word, you know what I'm focusing on? This person hurt me. I can't believe that person's even sitting in the church. I hope the lightning bolt comes down and strikes them dead. And we're focusing on that. We're focused on the hurt that our mom caused, our dad caused. We're focused on, and all we do is think about that, and we're not even thinking about God. We have our devotions because we're great spiritual believers. And we're sitting home reading our Bibles as we should. You know what we do? We don't even know what we're reading because all we do is think about, I can't believe that person calls himself a Christian. I can't believe that person did this to me. I can't believe this. And you know what we do? We are now worshiping our hurt. That's what bitterness does. We get to the place that we worship our hurt. It becomes an idol in our lives. We've all been hurt, but we don't need to make an idol in our lives. We've all been broken, but we don't need to make it an idol in our lives. We've all wished we weren't treated that way, but we don't need to make it an idol in our lives. We've all gone through hard times, but we don't need to make it an idol in our lives. Bitterness becomes an idol in our lives, and it will destroy us. It will destroy you. It will destroy me if we don't deal with the bitterness. I want you to look a little further here. Walking with the right spirit, let all bitterness. We could spend the whole message just on bitterness. But what comes out of bitterness goes hand in hand with bitterness. So I want us to look at this for a moment this morning. Let all bitterness and wrath. That word wrath refers to the passion of the moment. To the passion of the moment. It's where we get our word thermometer from. It carries the idea of sudden, violent, expression of anger. It speaks of wild rage. We refer to it today as flying off the handle. When we experience the explosion of wrath, a lot of damage can be done. It's this idea. How many of you have ever seen, probably in a movie, because most of you haven't been physically around it, dynamite at work? Okay, dynamite, what does dynamite do? You light it, the fuse goes off, it explodes, it's done, right? That's what wrath is. It explodes, but as quick as it explodes, it's done. But what is the effect of the dynamite? What is the effect of the dynamite? Well, hopefully it was used in the right way and it took care of some of the issues. But a lot of times there's a lot of rubble. There's a lot of other things that has happened because of that dynamite. One person says it's like a shotgun blast. Boom. And it's all over. But look at all the damage that was left behind. It says this idea of wrath is being this where anger builds up, blows out, and subdues just as quickly. But it leaves terrible scars. You know, out of bitterness comes this wrath, where our individual is uncontrolled in this sense, and this fly off the handle rage, this wrath, and just explodes. How many of you have seen person, because none of you are that way, I know. But how many of you have seen someone explode? This is the wrath. This idea. Now, I want to tell you, the reason this comes about, out of bitterness, out of not dealing something right, comes wrath. You say, well, preacher, just because you have anger, just because you have wrath, just because out of all bitterness comes wrath, let all bitterness wrath, just because wrath is associated with it, doesn't mean I have bitterness. It does. Because the opposite of bitterness is found in verse 32. And if I have the right spirit in verse 32, I'm not going to have explosions in my life. Now, there is righteous anger. We understand that. We've talked about that before. This is not what this is talking about. This is talking about where because of something in our lives, because of hurt, because of things that we've talked about of that bitterness, we explode and we're not controllable and not controlled of what we're dealing with. It says let all bitterness, it says let all bitterness and wrath and anger. Anger deals with that resentful feeling. It means to become red face. So we got the wrath that explodes. We got the idea of flying off the handle. We got the idea of the red face. It is a picture of the person who clenches his fist, becomes red in face, and says nothing. So wrath explodes. You see it. Anger does this. You're inside and you're boiling and you're ready to explode, but you somehow swallow it. You know what I'm talking about, right? And your face becomes red. And I tell you, the smoke comes out of your nose and out of the top of your head. And everyone sees, but you're sitting there like this. And you're like, if looks could kill, I would kill. But I'm not going to. That's what this idea of this wrath, this anger. This wrath, this anger that comes out. As it comes out of bitterness. It comes out of these explosions. Well, I just speak my... No. The Bible tells us the attitude. I just have to deal... Wait, what spirit are we supposed to have? See, bitterness produces the wrong spirit that we're supposed to be walking. We're to have righteous anger over right sins and those things, but even that, we looked at, you deal with it in truth and love and how you have to deal with it. But this says, out of my bitterness, out of my hurt, out of me making this an idol in my life where I'm focused on this, I get to the place that I fly off the handle, and I get to the place that eternally I am angry and I'm smoldering and it's just steaming inside me and it's ready to come out. Now, we are in a day that most people don't have tea kettles, but I used to like listening to tea kettles because what happens after a while of a tea kettle and it gets to a place that is boiling? They had a little hole in the top of the cap. And as that came through, what happened? There was a whistle that was given. But what did it take a lot of inside that thing? It had to get to a certain temperature. And once it got to a certain temperature and was boiling in a certain way, then all of a sudden, it whistled. Do you know what happens? There's a lot of people that are like that. They hold on, looks could kill, and they're trying to stomach it down, but they've never dealt with it. And because they never dealt with it, eventually what is it going to do? It's going to come out. Because what's the next word? It says let all bitterness, wrath, anger. Okay, bitterness, hurt, not dealt with, becomes wrath. We explode. Comes to a place that we can't, we try to stomach it, we try to handle it, but we're angry and it's killing the very essence of ourselves. It's killing us. We're ready just to explode, but we're trying to hold it in. There's another word that comes next. Look at this. Look at this next word. Clamor. Is a shout or outcry of anger. It's this idea of you're trying to shove it down so you don't let people know that you have bitterness. You're trying to shove it down. You have that anger, but you don't want anyone else to know. And you try to put on the facade. You try to put on that act, oh, I'm a great believer, and I have no bitterness in my life. I tell you, I have no hurt, and I've dealt with it right. I forgive, and I'm tenderhearted. Oh, I don't care. It's no big deal inside. I can't stand that person. I don't want to ever see that person. Oh, come on, you've been there. I don't even want to be in the same room. And you're just letting it stew in your hearts and your life. And what happens is this. Clamor is this outcry of the anger. Finally, it's like that tea kettle. Boom! And you explode. But you try to shove it down. You try to take care of it yourself. You're trying to handle it. And eventually that outcry comes out. You ever done something to someone that you didn't know how you did that to the person? Or you've said words to somebody that you're like, where did that come from? I know I thought those words, but I never thought I would say those words. I know I thought harm to that person, but I never thought I would act upon that harm. I thought this and that. And I tell you, yeah, I'm resentful towards my parents. I'm resentful to this person. I'm resentful and hateful to that person that did this to me and this bully at school and this individual and that. I'm hurtful and I'm all that. But I never thought I would act upon it. I never thought it would come out. I never thought I would do it. That's clamor. Because you can't push it down any longer. And it explodes and comes out. In our world today, there's a lot of people that there is this outcry of anger protruding, coming out of their lives and out of their mouths, and they call themselves believers. We find ourselves raising our voices, acting out in ways that show we're not under control of the Holy Spirit. We say things, do things that we wish we wouldn't do. We act and do those things. You've seen it. I've seen it for years. You've seen it in phone conversations. You've seen it where you meet with people and you're trying to deal with things and handle things, and there's this outcry, and people just allow it to finally explode and go. You know, clamor has no place in the life of a born-again believer. You can call it, I can call it, anything I want to call it. But that's not the spirit we ought to have in our lives. But what comes out of this? Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking. That word evil speaking is translated from the word blaspheme. You know what this means? It means it's slanderous or that injures another's good name or person. You know what comes out of your bitterness? Out of your anger? Out of your wrath? Out of your clamor, your outcry? Is this evil speaking, blaspheming, slanderous talk in your life? Okay, let me give a thought. How many of you been in a disagreement with someone that it became an argument, it became a fight, because you were hurt and you just allowed it to come out, and all of a sudden clamor came out, your outcry. But all of a sudden, you said words, you said things, you acted way, you said something about the other person that's not even true, but man, you're going to be able to get your point across. You're going to be able to win that battle. You're going to win that fight, and you start slandering the other person. start just saying stuff. And then later you say, oh, I'm sorry. Later you say, oh, I wish I never did this. What do they say? Now, we got to be careful with this. What do they say? Usually if we say it, we meant it, right? There's a lot of truth to that. Now, I understand we can joke, we can tease. I'm not saying that. Because some of you would be in trouble if I meant what I said, right, Rich? But we got to be careful. Because what comes out in the evil speaking is an indication of what's in the heart. Get this. This whole idea of Ephesians 31 is emotional in nature. Get this. It's emotional in nature. And what happens with emotions? Emotions build upon emotions. Emotions build upon emotions. And as emotions build upon emotions, as we see bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and even speaking, it builds upon itself. It keeps building. And when we keep feeding the emotions, we keep feeding that emotion nature, and we keep feeding that, all of a sudden we're going to be in a state we never thought we would find ourselves. This is supposed to be used to help, not to cut, not to destroy, not to lash out at somebody. Then it says this, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be what? Put away. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness, wrath, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you. Believer, I beseech you, I beg with you out of love that you walk with the right spirit and put away all those things. Don't allow them to creep up and be a part of your lives. Deal with your hurt. And don't let it destroy you. Put away means you take it and you don't just set it over here. You take it, you remove it, and you throw it away. And then verse 32 says what we need to put on. We got to take away, we got to put on. I believe many believers are grieving the Holy Spirit this morning because we have not dealt biblically with our hurt. And I believe because of it, we've seen branches come out. We've seen people destroy themselves, hurt themselves, destroy others, wreck relationships because it hasn't been dealt with. Ruin the testimony of our Lord because it hasn't been dealt with. The Bible says we got to put that away. God does not want you and me to be bitter this morning. Did you know that? Do you know God knows what you're feeling this morning? God knows what you've been through. God cares for you. He knows. He knows what that person did to you. And he says, put all bitterness away. God knows the feelings you're struggling with in your life. And God says, don't have those feelings. Put those away. They're not helping you. God knows that it's festering in your life. And he says, turn it over to me. Do you know what it means to cast all our cares? It means we cast all our hurts. That means we cast everything we have. That means we cast our feelings, our emotions, everything at the feet of Jesus and give it to him. question this morning. And I want us each to look at our lives this morning. And I want to ask you and me the same question, myself included. Have we allowed any hurt to become an idol in our lives? You know how you know? Do you have clamor? Do you have wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking? See, you know what the proof is? Those things we looked at real quickly. We're going to spend a little more time on those, but I spent a lot more on the beginning of bitterness. But out of those, out of the bitterness comes those things. And let me ask you, if you have those things, well, preacher, I've never lashed out yet. But are you fighting it? I mean, if it's inside you and it's stirring you and it's lost your focus and you're not worshiping the Lord because you're worshiping that, you got bitterness. You got bitterness. Well, preacher, bitterness is for someone that is wicked. Well, we're all wicked if you want to look at it that way. But you know what? Bitterness is because we're very selfish and we haven't dealt with it right. And every one of us can find ourselves in that place. Just be honest. Every one of us can find ourselves in that place. And what we have to do is when we see it, deal with it God's way. We got to cope with it, deal with it God's way, not man's way. Man's way is the bitterness, the wrath, the anger, the clamor, the evil speaking. God's way is verse 32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Next week, we're going to look at how to deal with hurt God's way and walking with the right attitude and the right spirit. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand this truth that we've looked at this morning. And as hard as it is for us to swallow and see, maybe that we're struggling with this. Lord, I pray you'd show us. And Lord, if you show us, Lord, I pray you help us to seek you for it and your help and your strength in this area. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. As you stand, you know, no one looking about.